The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM channel 158, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, as we talk all things NFL Championship Sunday and its betting relationships. Chris Felica from Fox Sports, of course, will join us. He's got soccer, he's got horse racing, he's got football as well. We look forward to that. But first, a real treat. The last time he was on this show, I just told him straight up, I love you, because he made my childhood great. He won the Super Bowl after the 1982 season, Super Bowl 17 with the Washington Redskins, and then the following year was both National Football League MVP and the Offensive Player of the Year. Joe Theismann joins the show courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Joe, great seeing you. Great talking to you. How are you?
I'm great, Gil. It's so good to catch up with you again. It's been a while, but boy, there's some great times happening.
There are some great times, and we will get to those. I want to ask you one historical question first before we get to modern day and, of course, this game between the Eagles and the Commanders. Yesterday on the show, I had my buddy Joe Pita on. He's a lifelong Eagles fan. I obviously am a lifelong Washington fan. We talked about our greatest games from our perspectives in the history of the Eagles, Redskins, and then Eagles Commanders, Eagles Washington football team in between history. One of my top four, and I'm curious if this has a prominent place in your mind because it's right in your wheelhouse. Joe Gibbs comes in 1981. You guys go 0-5 out of the chute. You finish that season 8-3. So it was a portent of things to come. But that 82 season starts in Philly. You're down 17. You hit Charlie Brown on a 78-yard touchdown pass to overcome that, win the game, and the rest, as they say, is history. It sort of, for me as a fan, ushered in the Gibbs era. Does it have that prominent place for you as well?
It does for me. I mean, really, and you mentioned it because it was the first game. And it was that opportunity after, you know, you work real hard and then now you get to a point where you're starting to feel like you sort of understand one another. I mean, it was a rough start for us. And then we turn around and wind up having an incredible year. And it does have significant meaning. I can see Charlie down the left side taking off with the way he ran. He had a really interesting gait.
Yes, he did.
And I can see him taking off on that long pass.
He sort of ran on the back of his heels. It was an interesting sort of gait that he had, really long
never
strides.
Never raised his feet very high. It was almost like a shuffle, but nobody could catch him.
Nobody could catch him. Out of South Carolina State, by the way, for everybody scoring at home, I believe a 9th-round pick. When you did go 0-5, there was a famous meeting. I assume it's true. You'll tell me if it is or isn't. It was a one-on-one, you and Coach Gibbs. Did it happen? And if so, what was the general tenor of that meeting?
It happened. We were 0-5. We just lost to the San Francisco 49ers. I had sort of gotten through the rumors and everything that Coach was either going to trade me or he was going to bench me. And playing quarterback was important to me. So after we lost the game, I drove to his house. And Joe slept at Redskin Park 3 nights a week. I mean, at the end of a game, he's exhausted. So I'm at his, I knock on the door. He had to be the most surprised person in the world when he had a chance to see me. I said, Coach, we need to talk. We sat down in his day. He says, come on in. We sat down in the den. I said, Coach, look, I get the feeling I'm in these meetings, but you're not talking to me. You're just doing installations. He said, Joe, you have restaurants, TV shows. You have all these things going on in this city. I just want a quarterback. I said, I'll do this. I'll get rid of everything if you want me to. I'll get rid of it all. But the important thing is just give me a chance, Coach. Just give me a chance and you know, let's go from there. And that's really what happened. That meeting, my job meant so much to me. And I wanted to be able to be a part of that football team. I wanted to be his quarterback. And I had to convince him because I wasn't his. You know, the new broom sweeps clean theory sort of comes in every business. And this was my opportunity to sit down and sort of clear the air and, you know, we went on one heck of a run after that.
Yeah, specifically, the Skins won 36 of their next 42 games spanning a couple seasons there, including postseason games. So, the rest was absolutely history, including a Super Bowl title. As we mentioned, Super Bowl 17. Gibbs would go on to win two more. To the present day, you obviously, like all of us, are just the pleasure of watching Jaden Daniels in his rookie season here. I'll just ask it sort of very simply. Is he the greatest rookie quarterback you've ever seen?
I think he is. I think Ben Roethlisberger was another one who was special. But what Jaden has been able to do in the dramatic fashion that he's been able to do it, you have to look at him and just marvel. I mean, you know, you could put a list of 10 things that you're looking for in a quarterback, somebody that can really play. Make a list of 10. He checks every box, his composure, his under fire, his ability to throw the ball down the field. We haven't had a deep thrower like this in decades in Washington. His ability to run the football, to pick up critical situations, to evaluate situations, to protect himself, the accuracy that he has. I mean, there's so many things that you love about him. His composure, when everything around him is going crazy. And look, the last 5-6 games of the season have all been nail biters. I got to tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to play the game than it is to be a fan. I have so much respect for the fans because I get so nervous and I get so crazy watching them play. The last time I had a chance to take a breath was with 3 minutes to go in the Detroit game. And that's been about the last 6 weeks. So yeah, I think he's very special in so many ways. And he, you know, rookies have sometimes a difficult time processing what's in front of them. He does not. Cliff Kingsbury's done a fantastic job, our offensive coordinator, with him.
Are you like most Skins fans or Commanders fans who literally, you know, for most of the year, again, I was saying on this show, yeah, they're going to go to the playoffs. You know, at most they win one game. What a great story that will be. And now the brain has sort of toggled to, wait a minute, they're 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. Like, I'm buying in now. You're kind of like that?
Oh, absolutely. You for somebody to ask a question in the beginning of the year, say, do you think they're going to make it to the playoffs? You think, well, you know, there's so much newness. You hope so. And then you get into the playoffs and it's like, well, you got a whole bunch of guys that have never been in this situation before. Some have, but not with this team. And then you start believing, you start to see what's happening on the field. Your eyes tell you to believe. And that's exactly where we are. I believe we can beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember, this is the third time they're going to play. There's not going to be a whole lot of mystery to what people are going to want to do. Vic Fangio is going to want to come after people. And, you know, Jaden's going to have to be able to make plays. They're going to have to catch the football like they have. The great thing about this offense in particular is a lot of different people have stepped up at different times. Brian Robinson's run the ball well. Jaden's run the ball well. Ertz is making catches. Terry McLaurin's making catches. De'Ami Brown's making catches. You have guys all over the place stepping up, and it's never the same person. So how do you defend it? The Eagles on the other side, they have Saquon Barkley. I mean, let's face it, you can dissect this thing any way you want, but Saquon Barkley is the guy that makes a difference. He ran for 148 the first time these two teams played, went for 150 the last time, went for 200 last week. He is a force to reckon with, but then outside, you've got two really, really good football players in Smith and Brown. So it's, you know, I don't think that this football team goes in there wondering if they can win. I go in there, I think they go in believing they can win, and I believe they can too.
Joe, I know you're not a sports bettor first. It is a little corner of the world that we inhabit. So is it fair to say that you think being a 6-point dog is a little disrespectful, a little too much?
I felt the 9-point dog to the Detroit Lions was hugely disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 6 is somewhat disrespectful. And I always sort of, and I don't know how you guys do, but I look at 3 points as a home field. So to me, it's like 3. If you're thinking 3 is the number, then 6 is too high.
I like it. All right. What about the other game? Buffalo, Kansas City. For most who are not Washington or Philadelphia fans, that's the real marquee matchup of the weekend. Do you have an opinion on that game where the Chiefs are only 2-point favorites?
You ask me if I have an opinion? Yeah, I guess so.
Who am I talking to? That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that never met a microphone he didn't like, right? Anyway, I do. I think this is a critical year for the Buffalo Bills and particularly Josh Allen. This is a chance to, you know, put that behind you. We heard so often about Matt Ryan. Oh, he's a terrific quarterback. Can he get to the next level? Can he get it done? Then all of a sudden he went to a Super Bowl. You never heard that conversation anymore. I think Josh Allen is right there. He's right on the cusp of doing something special. Patrick's incredible. Patrick's the best quarterback in football. And he's the guy that can make plays when you have to. There's one thing about winning in the regular season. There's another thing about winning at this stage when you're into the playoffs. What do you do when all the chips are on the table? And I think that the Buffalo Bills are very capable of doing this. They don't have one. Again, they don't have just one receiver that they count on. They've got good tight ends. I think they can keep the ball away from Kansas City's offense a little bit. Cook is a heck of a running back. I'm always curious to see what Steve Spagnuolo is going to do defensively, though. It's funny. I love watching Patrick play and Travis and all that stuff on offense and Andy calling the game. But for me, I'm going to be watching what Steve Spagnuolo wants to do to Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense. Now, if they start rolling downhill and they start creating problems, you know, that's a big problem for Buffalo. But I think Buffalo can be up to the task to be able to take on the Kansas City Chiefs and win the game.
Would you have ever thought in your lifetime when you were playing, if someone walked up to you and said, you know, one day there's going to be a guy, a quarterback who gets to seven consecutive championship games, you probably would have dismissed them summarily at that point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you say that and immediately people would say Tom Brady. But it's Patrick Mahomes. And again, you can't separate Patrick from Andy, just like it's hard to separate Cliff from Jaden. The offensive coordinators have so much to do. Yes, he makes spectacular plays. Yes, he can you know, get out of the pocket and create, and he has all these different angles to be able to get the ball up the field. But you look at the way Andy calls games in critical situations. They'll find Travis Kelce. You want to make a bet on this one? I don't know what the prop is for Kelce, but I'm going to guess he's probably going to be targeted at least a dozen times, probably going to wind up with 8-9 catches.
All right.
I would be shocked. Remember the Super Bowl last year? They only threw to him once and they struggled. Then they got him the ball in the second half and they won. Keep that in mind.
6.5 is actually the prop for Kelce be accurate.
Over.
Yeah, so over for you.
Over.
Joe, always a pleasure. You have no idea. I really appreciate it, sir.
Thanks. Great catching up with you. Take care.
You too. And let's get back to RFK, for goodness sakes. Joe Theismann, everybody. Yes. At Theismann7 on Twitter. We'll come back. Steve Fezzik in studio. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Horse racing action heating up in South Florida with a $3 million Pegasus World Cup tomorrow, Saturday, January 25th. And our friends over at First Bet have got you covered with everything you need to hit big. Sign up for a new First Bet account using promo code VSIN200 to claim a $200 sign-up bonus. Plus, download their free Pegasus World Cup wager guide and get up to $10 back when your horse finishes second or third in the biggest races at Gulfstream Park. Head over to firstbet.com. That's 1stbet.com and use promo code VSIN200. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is behind the glass these days here in the second hour. Steve Fezzik standing by. Want to read some tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Stormy Bonatoni responding to Dave Ross talking about the acting sweepstakes, which Kelly does a great head nod in these commercials. Stormy says, I wish you guys could have seen the ad-libs in person. Get this man a SAG card ASAP. Talking about Dave Ross's performance in their little promo about the app. Steve the Proxy. Raiders hiring Carroll to me means they know they're at least 3 years away from even competing in the AFC West. Their organization is so chaotic, they need someone to fix it and be a bridge to normalcy. They have no quarterback, aren't making the playoffs, but could shed laughingstock tag. Could shed the laughingstock tag. DP, AFC West has the best coaches in the NFL, he says, at Vegas DP. That's what? Reed, Harbaugh, Peyton, and now Carroll. This is from Mr. Postman 619. Shout out to the OGs, Mark Lawrence, and Kelly's favorite guy, Jim Feist. They said Carroll was a possibility on their Championship Week podcast. I was just as shocked as y'all are today. We knew he was out there. I just didn't think it was imminent. By the way, Jim Feist had me on a couple weeks ago. That was super nice of him. Colin Murphy. Let's go to this one. 3Jack, 3131. Locked in Hamlin, 500-1 for Super Bowl MVP. Let's go. Good luck. Chance Copperpot. I agree with MOP here. I watched every snap of the Pete Carroll Seattle era and saw how he turned our team around. To be frank, to Pete, we had the likes of Brian. To be fair to Pete, he has his TBF. To be fair to Pete, we had the likes of Brian Schottenheimer and Daryl Bevel calling the plays. Spytek looks like a good hire as well. The Ryan Hyatt, it's time for the new folks listening to ANG with Gil Kelly on Sirius. This is the now semi-legendary final hour of the week, a.k.a. keep that dump button handy and buckle up. Fezzik and Felica and some guy named Theismann, not really sure how to handle it. And finally, Brian Schaefer. Gil, your boy Ovechkin only needs 20 goals now to beat Gretzky. I know he does. We'll get to more tweets, but Steve Fezzik is standing by right next to me. He's actually sitting by the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, the granddaddy of all Vegas's NFL handicapping contests. How you doing, sir?
I don't know if it's going to stay the granddaddy. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor have taken over the neighborhood, right?
Well, granddaddy refers to the fact that they're the oldest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the Orange Bowl's better now.
Beyond that.
Right?
That?
It's like the Rose Bowl versus the Orange Bowl, maybe. It's that Orange Bowl's pretty cool. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I should probably usher this in properly. We have a new open for Steve Fezzik, and it goes a little something like this.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Huh? Huh? I like it.
Taste the soup. Look at that. You got a new open.
Okay, we got Crack's been making fun of me for like a year. No opening for Fez, but I hate you check out my opening, Fez. It's good, isn't it?
It's good. There's tons to talk about here. Can we start with Buffalo, Kansas City? Kansas City favored by 2. You believe with the new overtime rules, there's a proper way to bet this?
Yes. If you bet Kansas City, you must play the money line, not lay the -1.5 or the -2. If you're betting Buffalo, not teasing Buffalo, you have to take the +2. Do not bet the money line. Why? Well, we're going to go back in time here. In Time Machine last year, Gilly and I were at Caesars. We're on the treadmill. Gilly doesn't like to talk when he does treadmill. I do. All right. So it's embarrassing.
And boy, does he.
It's uncomfortable. So yeah. He tries to have a treadmill separation, COVID style. I try to get nestle up to him.
Like, Steve, can we have a treadmill in between us, for God's sakes?
Yes. But we were talking about, so the new overtime rules, both teams are guaranteed a possession. So what is that going to do? Well, it's going to make the number one more likely to land. And if you're laying 1.5 or -2 on Kansas City, you don't want this game to go overtime. You're in deep trouble. Now, think about this. Normally.
Okay, but explain that, first of all, because what you are saying is new overtime rules, which we went over yesterday, new postseason overtime rules, if you remember from the Super Bowl, it's not sudden death from the beginning. Both teams get their fair ups, if you will, for baseball term. If they have the same amount of points after the first possession for each team, then it goes to sudden death at that point. I assume what you're talking about is you believe the scenario exists for a team to get 7 and then for the subsequent team to go for 2?
Exactly right. So if whoever gets the ball first in overtime, should they score a touchdown? Let's assume it's Kansas City gets a touchdown. Boom, they're up 7. Buffalo now still gets a possession because that's what the rules are. They've got 4 downs, and as sure as the sun's going to come up tomorrow, when Buffalo scores that touchdown and they're down 1, their analytics team will have figured it out and they're going to go for 2. So this game is going to land 1. It's basically pretty straightforward math. You can't kick the extra point because now you go to sudden death, and whoever's got the ball in sudden death has an enormous edge. You can't allow that. You got to go for 2.
Got to go for 2. And remember in last year's Super Bowl, the Niners kicked a field goal on 4th and 4 at the 9. Kansas City came back, matriculated the ball down the field, and the rest is history. They win in overtime. Okay, let's talk about just the games in general. Are you betting these in standard sports books? Are you betting them on exchanges? What are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. So I bet your Washington team +6 at open. I'm like, that's wrong. Hurts is banged up. A.J. Brown's not 100%. That just can't be right. And to my horror, well, at first the line came back down to 5 and 4.5. And now it's wheeled back up to 6. And the early in the week, I bet at the sportsbook, best number I can find. Late in the week, I am a huge proponent. These standalone games, these exchanges are so good. Sport Trade, Profit, other betting exchanges. Why? Because I can't beat -110 against the closing number. I can't hit 52.5% against the closing number. But you know what? I don't need to. If I can hit, this is crazy, but it's true. If I can hit 50.5%, I will win on games like this. Why do I say that? Because you look at that Kansas City-Buffalo game. I just saw on a betting exchange, Kansas City's 1.5-point favorite. You can lay -101. Or you can take Buffalo +1.5 and lay -101. So you can see, hey, if I can hit 50.5%, I win then, sans commissions.
Profit X, Sport Trade, that's what we're talking about there. You did play a prop in the Washington game.
Yeah, I'm going back to the well. My man.
You love him.
Diami Brown. What can Brown do for you? So here's a dude that was basically on the scrap heap the first half of the year. In the second Eagles game, week 16, he got 56 yards. But he has been a playoff stud. He's got 98 and 89 yards the last two playoff games, and I'm a huge believer, rookie quarterback, no reason to change it, right? Scary Terry's still going to get all the attention. So Diame has emerged as the number two for the Washington football team. I'm going to go to the well one more time. Paying attacks, over 43.5 receiving yards.
Diami Brown, over 43.5 receiving yards right there from Fez. We got into a little hedging discussion earlier on the show. You wanted to chime in.
Yeah, so I went ahead, new book that's out, Dan Abrams, But How Much Did You Lose? And he
discusses,
terrible title. Always play back. Always play back is what the title should be.
I see. The alternative title should be that.
Alternative title should be Always Play Back. Now, this is really fascinating because we talk about like, and no one wants to step on anyone's toes. Fezzik Twitter doesn't have a problem with this, all right?
Fezzik Twitter accepted.
Unfortunately, yes. The Voldemort of the betting world. As it turns out, if you believe in the math, and trust me, this guy is an electrical engineer, and
Dan
knows,
has done the math.
Dan has done the math. Yeah. This is counterintuitive. If you have the world's greatest futures bet and it's going to pay like $10,000, and then you could hedge like at an exchange, a 50-50 bet back the other way. How much should you hedge? It turns out it's a slam dunk with the math. If you risk $1 to win $100, and these are big amounts, so it's like $10,000 to win $1 million, you should hedge it all. You should dump it all. If you can get not even a positive expectation bet.
A 50-50 hedge.
If you can just get a hedge bet that is not negative, you should hedge it all. And here's where the counterintuitive stuff is. If it's even a slightly negative bet, you should still make a substantial hedge. And that blows the minds.
I was
going to
say, even as you say that, I'm sure there are people listening who are like, I don't agree with that.
They're wrong. Because they go argue with all these math geeks from the University of Chicago and Princeton, because bankroll growth, it's all about bankroll growth. If you're an advantage player, you cannot risk losing an addition to your bankroll, because now you can bet all kinds of great stuff.
I understand that. But there's going to be someone out there who's saying, maybe that's me, there's going to be someone out there who's saying, yeah, but like, I'm giving away so much equity for no reason on that particular bet.
Let me disprove this. I'll give you a 50-50 chance to win $1 billion, or you can have $100 million. Which do you take?
Okay.
Almost any rational, smart math person would take the $100 million. You know, it's a horrific decision. Well, I'm giving up.
Again, depends on your standpoint in life.
Elon Musk,
are we talking about?
He addresses that very issue. That the point is, you're willing to accept some negative EV to lock in a chance to substantially grow your bankroll.
Steve Fezzik talking about Dan Abrams' book, But How Much Did You Lose? Available where all books are sold. More with Fezzik on the other side. Championship week in the National Football League. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game with Steve Fezzik, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day, the granddaddy of all the contests. Little Super Bowl history with betting lines. Let's start with this before we go through some of the historical lines. You asked Kelly and I a trivia question about something.
Yeah, so 1997, 1998, Denver Broncos, John Elway, mini dynasty Terrell Owens. They played Terrell Davis. They played Green Bay in their first Super Bowl victory. What was the point spread in 1997 in that game, Gilly?
Well, I know the answer because we did this off air. But if we gave people 10 seconds to think about it, what was the spread in the Denver-Green Bay Super Bowl? This is the late 90s now we're talking about with Denver and Green Bay.
The helicopter, Elway.
The helicopter,
game.
The iconic helicopter game, which Denver ended up winning by 7, 31-24.
Green Bay let them score at the end of the game and then came back down the field, didn't quite get in.
Super Bowl 32, which was January of 1998. What was the point spread? Tell us.
The point spread was 11.5, and Green Bay was the favorite. So where I'm going here, it was a lot easier to win in 1997 than it is in 2025. You would never see a line that wrong, but really what happened was Green Bay was the defending champion, and the narrative was, oh, Elway and the Broncos always get blown out in the Super Bowl, and that's why this line even opened higher than that 11.5.
Green Bay had won the Super Bowl the previous year as 14-point favorites when they beat New England by exactly 14.
Exactly.
So those, by the way, you think about, hey, okay, those have to be among the biggest if not the biggest, Super Bowl spreads of all time. Well, they're among the biggest, but they're not. You probably know which is. Do you know it, Pan?
Yeah, San Diego was catching, I think, 19 against the Niners. And famously, Bob Stupak made one of the biggest Super Bowl bets ever. You know, to this day, I argue with Jimmy Vaccaro, and he remembers the bet, but he doesn't. He always says it was minus 400, but it was minus 800, 2.4 million to win 300,000. A ridiculously cheap money line for a 19-point favorite.
Yeah, San Francisco was a closed 18.5 per my records, but okay, 18.5 point favorites against San Diego, the San Diego Chargers, January of 1995. That was Super Bowl 29, and the Niners covered with a 23-point win, 49, ironically, to 26.
And they were about at midfield, the Chargers were, and the cameras were showing the Gatorade and everything else, and there was an uproar because there was a chance that it could impact the point spread. So what are they doing not showing the final plays of the game?
What is the most memorable Super Bowl spread for you and how it landed for you betting-wise?
I think you got to go back to, not that we did all that great, but just the Tennessee, the greatest show on turf team of the Rams when they beat Tennessee by 7. It's documented in the second best sports betting book ever, Chad Millman's The Odds, where they talk about all this liability Vegas had on the Rams, who started out 200-1, 100-1, the Kurt Warner team that just murdered everybody early in the year and everyone jumped on them. And they opened a 7-point favorite, 7.5 for a minute. Blinking, it was 7. It stayed 7 all week and it landed 7. Now, if that had happened 10 years earlier in Vegas, it would have been a Black Friday, because people in Vegas, they used to give half point promotions. They used to like, hey, you want to bet on Tennessee? You can get plus 7.5, or you can lay 6.5 on the Rams. But then they had stopped doing that by about 1992.
Yeah, that was January of 2000. The famous 1 yard short for the Tennessee Titans. I believe it was Kevin Dyson, who was 1 yard short on the play. St. Louis wins it exactly by 7, 23-16. I have to close it at 7.
By the way, both teams scored 3 consecutive times in that low-scoring, close game.
Yeah, which is we always refer to as the prop that flummoxes bettors the most when they see it, but it is accurately priced. Will a team score 3 times in a row, extra points and 2-point conversions accepted from that? And the average bettor's response is, why, of course not. These are 2 great teams. How could it can't be that easy? And it's always priced at yes, minus 170. It's accurate. That's what it should be.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, we mentioned that San Francisco, 18.5-point favorites against San Diego back at Super Bowl 29 in January of 1995 was the biggest spread of all time. But back then, to your point, to your topic sentence of, you know, this was much easier. Green Bay was a 14-point favorite against New England, as we mentioned, an 11-point favorite against Denver, as we mentioned. But in between those games, Dallas was a 13.5-point favorite against Pittsburgh. The last time that Dallas won a Super Bowl in January of 1996, they didn't cover. But there were so many double-digit favorites.
They almost lost.
Remember, the Rams' greatest show on turf were 14-point favorites against Tom Brady and the Patriots, the first time Brady won a Super Bowl by 3 against the Rams. So there were so many double-digit favorites. By the way, for those wondering about the Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl shuffle Bears, they were 10-point favorites, winning by 36 against New England after the 1985 season. The shortest spreads of all time, Super Bowl history. Do you have any idea?
Kansas City, Philadelphia.
Well, let's do them historically.
And Seattle, Denver.
Super Bowl 7, the Miami Dolphins' undefeated season, the only undefeated season in NFL history.
Oh, yeah.
They were 1-point favorites against the Washington Redskins.
Isn't that remarkable? Largely regarded as like the greatest team of all time.
Yeah. 1-point favorites.
Yep.
And they only ended up winning by 7 because Garo Yepremian and all that.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, Cincinnati, the first time. San Francisco only a 1-point favorite against the Bengals. They win by 5 in Pontiac,
Michigan. Just kept handing the ball off to Pete Johnson from the 1, and he kept gaining 0 yards.
And the big goal line.
Big Pete Johnson, no good. No.
Hacksaw Reynolds, the big goal line stand in that one. And then the Malcolm Butler pick. Seattle, 1-point favorites against New England in Super Bowl, what was that, 49 in February of 2015, which we all can remember so vividly.
Talk about copyright, Gil Alexander, Plinko.
Yeah.
Plinko results.
That was the biggest Plinko of them all.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the one you were referring to, which was close, Kansas City was a 1.5-point favorite against San Francisco in Super Bowl 54, February of 2020, they end up winning by 11, famously. But the last two Super Bowls, the last two Super Bowls are among the shortest spreads historically of all time. When Kansas City beat the Eagles by 3, the Eagles were 2-point closing favorites. And last year, when the Chiefs beat the Niners in overtime by 3, the Niners were 2-point closing favorites.
You know, think about this. And the book, the narrative was, I'm old enough, people used to do conference championship parties. They wouldn't do Super Bowl parties because the game was such a dud so often that you would, there'd be no interest. You know, it'd be a blowout.
Yeah.
And so it was a bad day to have a football party because it was oftentimes decided by halftime.
By the way, hypothetical lines here, of course, heading into this Super Bowl, also told us that this might end up being, of course, also equally short-lined.
I have a best bet I'm going to add on the hypotheticals.
Yes.
Your Washington football team plus 5.5 against Kansas City. Now, here's why. If both teams were gifted buys into the Super Bowl, I think this line is proper. All right. However, I don't think Kansas City, if they win a close game against Buffalo, is going to get any bump in their power rating. But if Washington, playing their fourth straight road game as a 6-point dog, can win in Philadelphia, they are going to be elevated in their power rating substantially. And there is, it's extremely unlikely they will be catching plus 5.5. So I would lock that in now.
You alluded to props. What are some, do you have static props? Do you have go-to props when it comes to Super Bowls?
Yes, slow starting games. I love playing first quarter under, no score first 5 minutes, even first half under, second half to outscore first half, third quarter to outscore first quarter. And to use an example, so we just saw Ohio State play Notre Dame. Same sort of thing where both teams, like that first drive for the Irish, you know, punch them in the mouth, ball control. You just don't see long passes typically to start these championship games. So here's a game, Ohio State, Notre Dame flies over the total. First quarter goes, went under, only 7 points, only one possession that concluded in the first quarter. And how many, we've seen this before in Super Bowls, like when the Giants beat Baltimore, what was that, 34-7?
Yeah, 34-7.
And it was like scoreless, like, you know, late in the second quarter. Yes.
At the time, my biggest bet ever, I was all over the Ravens that day. Yeah, Giants were such a, felt like such a poor Super Bowl team against that defense in Baltimore. That's the only, so unders early. Anything else leap to mind with props?
That is my number one go-to.
That's your number one thing. Do you do the three consecutive? Do you always bet that one, or you stay away? You just caution people?
The word's gotten out on it, so I've stayed away. And there were certain, like, going back in history, there were certain bets.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say, I'm sorry, no, finish your thought. Go ahead, because I had
Were certain, some of these no's used to be obscenely good. Like, you could bet no overtime and risk minus 600. Think about it. The true odds are like 5%. And you're laying minus 600. That was obscenely good, but the word has gotten out, and now you're laying like minus 1300.
Do you ever look at opening kickoff props? In other words, the team that has the propensity to defer or to receive.
Yes, and unfortunately, all of our teams that have been taking the ball are gonzo. Tampa Bay and Green Bay and Dallas. Well, Dallas isn't going to the Super Bowl, so there's no opportunity there. But that used to be one of the greatest bets in the sports books. They always say Vegas knows. Oh, Vegas knows. Vegas has no clue. All right. Like, I remember us walking up and we're laying minus 170 for the Saints to get the ball first against the Peyton Manning's Indianapolis Colts. And people were like, it's a coin flip. And why are they laying minus 120 and minus 140 and minus 160? Because one team defers and one team oftentimes takes the ball.
Yeah. Used to be a thing. Like so much in betting, opportunities dissipate after a while. Steve Fezzik, everybody, at Fezzik Sports, where he's not quite as nice as he is here in person, but nonetheless, he's an acquired taste. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gilly.
It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're the kind of player who wants to drop $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or maybe you're looking for instant acceptance on your in-game bets. You need SportTrade, the app that's revolutionizing sports betting. With minus 104 lines instead of the standard minus 110, instant in-game betting, and a dedicated concierge player service, SportTrade delivers a premium betting experience like no other. Now live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download SportTrade today. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on every wager during your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's a numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Love y'all. Rich Copro. I watched the 1983 Super Bowl with a friend at a bar in D.C. near 19th and M. Georgetown, baby. Immediately after the game, bars and restaurants emptied into the streets to celebrate. My friend met his future wife that night. Great memories. Go Commies. Michael Lafon, I'm a huge fan of Joe Theismann when he was at Notre Dame. Since Joe graduated, I've never heard a word about his go-to receiver in college, Tom Gatewood. Is Joe in touch with him? I wish I had seen that, Michael. I'm so sorry. I will ask him next time for sure. Steve the Proxy, Bills haven't won a road playoff game since 92. Turns out it's hard to win one when you're not in the playoffs for 17 years. The four Super Bowl teams in the 90s were almost never on the road. Then there was that whole Music City Miracle in 99. Yes, there was. 17 gets it done in KC, he says. His vote for the, or his bet there on the Bills. Blue Hen Bill. Hey, Gil, if my Eagles crush your Commodores, can you go back to calling them the Commodes? The Commanders is such a terrible name. Agree with that. By the way, I have a 16-1 Super Bowl exacta on the Eagles versus Buffalo. Brandon Kyle's about Jaden Daniels. ESPN's Bill Barnwell took it a step further and explores if Daniels' rookie season is the best of all time, regardless of position. His conclusion comes down to the next two games. Beats the Eagles. He's behind only Jim Brown. Super Bowl winner, it's undisputed. I like that. I like that reasoning. This would be from, let's see here, Jonathan Doe regarding Stormy and Dave's acting skills and SAG card potential. Their scripts are in large print right on their desks. Veasan faux pas. Hey, you gotta, can't dock them points for that. Sorry. Scoreline Sports. Was Fezzik holding an open copy of Dan Abrams' book? Yes, he was. And it was chock full of formulas. It sure was. This is from, let's see, if Rhodes knows, if you had to bet one touchdown score for the Skins, would it be Ertz at plus 290? I'd still go with the incomparable Terry McLaurin. I really would. Joseph Frieda, nice new intro for Fezzik. Fezzik Felica Friday, an exact to box anytime. And D-Gen Southern Gent finally says, I've been tailing the Super Bowl picks of one Steve Fezzik for a decade now. Can confirm the guy knows how to win the grandest big game of them all, regardless of who's playing. Before we get to Felica, our G-Bank best bets of the day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. All bets from every host, every guest on the network, each show, all day long. We always recap them. I'm on the Zverev Sinner over in the men's final at the Australian Open, over 39 and a half games. That is not tonight. Women's finals tonight. That's tomorrow night. Over 39 and a half games, Zverev versus Sinner. And I'm on the Commanders, not just on the money line, but also plus the points on Sunday. Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Ohio State, he's already got in the can there at -2.5. He teased it with Buffalo +7.5. He's looking to hit that leg as well. As far as the guests today, Steve Fezzik, Deami Brown over 43.5 receiving yards, and he's got the Commanders +6 as well as part of his best bets. And oh, Chris Velika, who's about to join us. Well, maybe we should let Chris talk about these, but we got three Super Bowl MVP bets coming up. We got a team total. We got some horses. Well, why don't we start with the horses, Chris Velika? By the way, I should mention before we do that, that G-Bank, of course, is the official bank of VSIN. You should know that by now, but just as a friendly reminder to that, know that VSIN recommends every better make the G-Bank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees, earn cash back rewards on eligible betting transactions, and now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSIN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, it is the Bear from Fox Sports, Chris Velika, driving somewhere. I have no idea where. He joins us now. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Yeah, just finished up an appointment and on my way to run another errand. But yeah, no, we'll give your friends at First Bet another promo here for the other horse racing tomorrow at Gulfstream Park. I'm not sure if Mike Salmon just chimed in with anything for the weekend, but two things I came across that I thought were worth a play in the bigger races on the card. I did like White Barrio in the Pegasus World Cup. It was Horse of the Year a couple of years ago. Changed barns. He's back in Safi Joseph's barn, who does very well at Gulfstream Park. And I think the race, the 7-furlong sprint race, just kind of throw it out. It was a sprint race. Now, speed, stretching out, this horse should, obviously can handle the classic distance. And I think the move from 7-furlong sprint to now stretch out at the classic distance should suit White Barrio well, especially with the favorite locked drawn really poorly outside. So White Barrio 3-1 morning line, you probably get something pretty close to that. And then in the Pegasus Philly Mare Turf, I like Bluster plus your stars. It was a horse for Todd Fletcher and Dorado Ortiz that I liked in that race. I think she was 8-1 on the morning line. And again, it's a horse that didn't take a ton of money, took a little bit of money first time in the U.S., an awful trip, drew terribly, drew a four post. And I think you're going to get something probably pretty close to 8-1 there. So a little bit of a price play with Bless Your Stars in the Philly O'Mare Pegasus Turf.
Okay, Bless My Stars, race number 10 there, and then Wild Abario in the Pegasus from Chris Felica. Again, these will all be on VSiN.com/picks for subscribers, every one of these. So if you have trouble catching them on the show, we'll put them up on the show here momentarily as well. But they'll also be at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Okay, this weekend, you, sir, are taking the Eagles team total. Which way are you going?
Yeah, I'm going over 26.5. That's the thing I'm most confident about in both of these conference championship games this weekend. That's one of two bets that I actually made involving this weekend. I just think if you look at how the Eagles ran the ball both times against Washington this year, if you look at the fact of the game that they scored 33 points with Kenny Pickett down in D.C., I just don't see a path where the Commodes, sorry, Gil, Commodores,
Thank you.
Slow the Eagles offense down, even if Jalen Hurts is a little gimpy, which he may be. But maybe Washington does outscore them, but I think 27 points is a very high likelihood for the Eagles this week. And then the other thing that I did play that I forgot to tell you and Kelly earlier was Dallas Goedert to lead the conference championship weekend in receiving yards at 25-1. You figure if some of these Eagles wide receivers might be a little beat up, maybe Jalen Hurts, if you watched him in that game in the snow against the Rams, like once he was hurt, like it was like, get the ball out, first read, Dallas Goedert. I think he has a chance to put up a big number on Sunday afternoon. So a little bit of a stab on Goedert at 25-1 to have the most receiving yards this weekend.
All right, you were kind enough to come on the Megapod this weekend. Everybody check that out, the Beating the Book podcast, the Megapod with Chris Felica, and of course Todd Wishnev and Will Hill this week. And at the time I asked you, hey, have you bet any Super Bowl MVPs? And you said, no, that isn't the case here 48 hours later. What do you got?
No, you guys, you guilted me into looking to make some bets there. And look, I know quite often you tend to look for the offensive players and stars and things like that. And I think if the Bills or the Commanders do win the Super Bowl, it's obviously going to be Josh Allen or Jaden Daniels. But I think if you look at the Eagles, I think you can make a good case that Jalen Carter and Zach Vaughn are fair, decent bets, decent dart throws at 100-1. Like if you look at who their opponents would be, either the Bills with Josh Allen and that running game, it's going to be up to a defensive line with either Jalen Carter or linebacking core with Zach Bond to kind of slow Josh Allen and that running game down. If they play the Chiefs, it's going to be up to that defense to slow down Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. So I think the way the games go, I think that's a likelihood. And then I think if you look on the flip side with the Chiefs, I know Matt Brown was having the conversation with Samich on the weekend about how it's not a given that Patrick Mahomes would be the MVP if they got in the game. Now, I know a couple of years ago he did win MVP and he shouldn't have, but I think if you look at Chris Jones as someone on that defensive line anchoring it, again, if they play the Eagles, it's going to be about shutting down Saquon Barkley, limiting Jalen Hurts, and I think that's a good matchup. And then obviously if it's the Commanders, it's going to be about getting pressure on Jaden Daniels. So I think the way these games are going to go, I think you can make a pretty good case for a defensive lineman here or a linebacker to potentially at a big number right now lock it in and win those awards.
Wow. Jalen Carter and Zach Bond both at 100-1 right now before the championship games to win Super Bowl MVP. Chris Jones of the Chiefs at 60-1. If you're wondering historically, last defensive player to win Super Bowl MVP 9 years ago, that was Von Miller of the Broncos. 2 years before that, Malcolm Smith of the Seahawks won it. To get another defensive player winning Super Bowl MVP, you'd have to go 11 more years before that when Dexter Jackson, I forgot, won it for the Buccaneers.
Forgot about that with the Bucs.
Yeah, and then 2 years before that, of course, the great Ray Lewis with the Ravens. Those are it for this century. Four defensive Super Bowl MVPs. Chris, safe driving, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Hey, next time you have Aaron Schatz on, ask him what his guess for the Dolphins 17-0 team would be all time for a DVOA. What are they, top 30, top 40 maybe?
Good question. I will ask him that. Absolutely. We've done all we could do. The lovely Stormy Bonatoni and the equally lovely Jeff Schwartz. Next, Money Moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.